Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we are just so thankful for, the things that you do, the love that you show us. Lord, we are so thankful that you are a sovereign God, a God that watches over all, a God that knows all, and a God that we could put our hope and our trust in, that we know no matter how bad things get in our minds, Lord, you are victorious. You're going to come out on top. Following you, you didn't say it was going to be easy. In fact, you said we should expect persecution. And Lord, during the times, I pray that you help us set our eyes and our hearts on you and your way, and help us to look beyond our selfishness and to look towards your great plan, as you have illustrated so many times in your word, the people that you used in your word and how the struggles they went through. But Lord, they look towards you, as Paul mentions in Acts, is the persecution that he endured, but yet he looked towards you because you are the hope. And Lord, we thank you so much for those men and women that serve to defend this country, the freedoms that we have. We lift them up before you, and we thank you for their service and their work, that we are able to come and worship here freely and not underneath any jurisdiction other than you. Thank you. And Lord, I lift up Awana as we are getting ready for it. As the holidays approach, Lord, I pray that you bring the right people that you want. Help us to use the resources that we have here as a church. Bring those leaders that you want here. Just those that you want here. You stretch us, sometimes you pull us. And when it's all over with, we say, thank you, Lord, that you provide. And Lord, right now I know you're going to provide for this Wednesday. It could stretch us, but it's good for us to grow in you. And Lord, I thank you so much that you do guide us, that Ron's testimony of your goodness. We should not take anything for granted, because Lord, when we do ask for traveling mercies, you are the one that provides it, no matter if it's across town or across country. You provide that, and we thank you. And Lord, I also pray for the hunters that are around, Lord, as they are getting ready to go out, as they are going to, whether it's be birds or deer. Lord, give them safety. And Lord, help them to look towards you as they are gathering resources that you have given us. We thank you so much that we can do that, that we are stewards over the land and over the animals. You've given us that freedom as well. I pray that you open up our hearts and our eyes to your word today as we look at the book of Galatians, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been one of those really... Open your Bibles to Galatians 3 while I begin to talk for a few minutes. It's been a really interesting week this week. I was putting this message together, and I had it mostly done come Friday, until God says, no, you're not done. So when I emailed Dawn yesterday at about 5, she puts my stuff together. She's a good helper, but I'm not supposed to tell anybody that. I said, this could be two parts, because what I didn't do, I didn't send out an email to bring your lunch today for this message. Well, and that reminds me, I was getting my great news sources from Babylon Bee, and I just read the title of this. The title said, half the congregation dies after pastor goes over 15 minutes. And I thought of you people. Thought, well, I could go ahead and take this down in two parts. So we're going to look at this for 2 weeks. And there's a disclaimer. I remember back in high school, I had two favorite teachers. One of them was my English teacher, because she understood the struggles that I had. And she looked beyond those struggles and made sure I got the work done to the best that I could do. She would also accommodate other people for writing essays and things like that. She's a really wonderful lady. The other one was my shop teacher. Who liked their shop teacher in high school? Oh, yes. They are some of the most patient guys I have ever met in my life. Anyways, one day my shop teacher said that he was going to be gone. And he was bringing a substitute teacher in. Now, my son heard about this story firsthand when I went to Montana when I seen my shop teacher. He said, I am the reason why he has gray hairs. So I knew the shop teacher was going to be. There's only three. I went to a really big school in Rosebud, Montana. My graduating class was 9. So we had 3 in that class, and this substitute was coming in, and we didn't see eye to eye. So what's the smart thing I'm going to do as a senior in high school? I'm going to hide from the teacher. I don't want to see her. So I went into the paint room. It was like a storage room for paint and chemicals. So me and Josh, we went in there, and we just hid the whole hour. You know, being that young, we didn't care about consequences. But when he got back the next day, see, back then, you could discipline kids. Not with a switch, though. That was past that. There was no switch involved or whooping stick. But he had a new program. It was called Chain Gang. And we were his little slaves. And what we had to do for 2 weeks, hour and a half after school, is we'd go up to the landfill and have to, and what they did in that area is they had a big container where people dumped their trash in. And we'd go around and pick up trash through that whole area. But that's the thing, I didn't mind doing that. I didn't mind it at all because he was back. I didn't have to follow her instructions because it would have probably been bookwork. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. Don't hide from your teachers because it could get worse than that. Another thing that he didn't allow us to do, he just turned his head, is this other kid by the name of Dusty. He says, you know what? I want to get my initials branded on my arm right here. Like, sweet, we can help with that. No problem. We could bend some metal. So what we did is we took some copper rod and we bent it into the initials DN. And the teacher goes, what are you guys doing? Well, Dusty wants to be branded. He goes, see ya. So we got it. So we got the letters looking nice and neat, and we got him red hot. We got it red hot. And he rolled up his sleeve. I said, Dusty, you ready? No, wait, not yet. Let it cool down. So we waited 2 minutes. I said, it won't work now. It's too cold. It's still hot, though. We got to get it red hot. That way you don't get infection, right? We're going to cauterize that. So we got it again, red hot. And I had to wait another minute so it wasn't red hot, didn't scare him. We did brand him. He didn't like it. He probably still has the scar to this day. I haven't seen him for a long time. There's probably a reason. It could be. But no, I was so happy when we were back under that teacher, as many gray hairs as we'd given him. As classes as we went through. See, so during the sub, I really didn't look forward to it because it was different. It was way different. The teacher knew us a lot better. That's kind of what Paul is saying in this passage we're going to look at in Galatians chapter 3:23 through 29, which we won't look at all of it today. So if you're there in your Bibles, Galatians 3:23 through 29. And it says, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith that would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. I really like this opening statement in this passage. It says, now before faith came. I got thinking about that. Now before faith came, what is Paul trying to say? Well, what he's trying to make something very clear here. He's trying to say that God works uniquely in different times. Now I'm going to explain this. We're going to unpackage a theological viewpoint to understand this a little more. So what I'm saying is God carried out unique plans in certain eras to draw mankind to Him and for God to work through man as we look through history and into the future. This is known as dispensationalism. There's your word for the day, dispensationalism. There are 7 dispensations on how God worked through history and what He is going to do in the future. Some scholars say there are 11 of them. I think they're stretching it a little bit too much. There are 7. The first one, we got to go way back to the beginning of time. Adam and Eve, called the dispensation of innocence. This covers Adam and Eve in the garden. See, the really cool thing about Adam and Eve is they were considered sinless in the beginning because they weren't born. They were created. God took dust and He formed man. And I believe that He didn't give Adam the belly button to show the uniqueness of His creation because he wasn't born. That would be something different about Adam. So then from Adam, so then not long after, so God gave Adam a little bit of work, and then He said, okay, I'm going to make a partner for you. So God put Adam into a deep sleep, performed some awesome surgery, pulled a rib out, and made Eve. They were innocent. They were innocent. Being made by God, not having sinned yet, until they broke that command God gave them. God says, don't eat it. You're to take care of the garden, but don't eat of this fruit right here. They broke it. They were innocent after they sinned. They're no longer innocent. And nobody's innocent because of that. I believe we will never be innocent, even when we are with Christ in our glorified bodies. I believe that's why we will have robes. Following that, the second one is a dispensation of conscience, which covers from Adam and Eve getting evicted out of the garden to the flood. This lasted about 1,600 years, 1656, according to a source. If you want to do the math in Scripture, go for it. I just took their word for it. This dispensation demonstrates what mankind will do if left to his own conscience, which have been tainted by the inherited sin nature. So when somebody's born, they're born with that sin nature. The sin from Adam. So after Adam and Eve got evicted from the garden, they started to populate the earth. And God was with them, okay? God was still there because we have Enoch, what did he do? He walked with God, right? Scripture says he walked with God and then he was no more. God took him. So God was still active, but he kind of let mankind do their thing while he was still there. And they got evil, right? They got so evil that God says, okay, enough is enough. I am going to pick a family. I'm going to start kind of fresh, but not really fresh because I still got this family. I'm not going to totally wipe everything out. So he got Noah and his family, and he got two of every kind of animal. I don't know why he saved some animals, but he did. He did. I could do without some of them. But hey, it's his work, not mine. He's got a plan. And then that brings on the third dispensation. All this is in Genesis so far. A lot happened in that book. Third one is human government, the dispensation of human government. That begins in Genesis 8. This is right after the flood where God starts building again with that family. And he gave that family promises and commands. Some of the best promises that I love. Some of those promises are, Noah and his family are to replenish the earth. Of course, God gives them the reminder when the rainbow appears, how he will not destroy the earth in that fashion. Man is over the animals. He is now to be stewards of them. And my favorite one, people can eat meat. One of my favorite ones. That's where the bacon sandwich comes in, guys. That's where it comes in at. However, a little over 30 years, they didn't fulfill one command. God says, replenish the earth. He's saying, I made this earth. This earth is wonderful. Go ahead and use what I've given you. This earth is awesome. What'd they do? They stayed in one spot. They stayed in one spot and constructed this huge tower. This huge tower. Of course, that tower did not please God. He was displeased because they did not keep his command. So what did he do? He confused the language. And I just imagine this. You're on the 32nd floor of this great tower by the elevator, just having a conversation with your friends. Then you look at him, it's like, are you speaking we don't understand each other anymore. Are you speaking a different language? God confused the language at an instant, and from there on, from that confusion, these guys found somebody that spoke their language, and they went off and formed their own little village, city, whatever, and spread out upon the earth. And that was the start of different human governments and different cultures. Now, the fourth dispensation is the promise. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? I'm talking about that lately. This started with the call of Abraham and ended when the Jews left Egypt. 430 years. We covered that last week. During this time, God grew the nation of Israel. He protected them in Egypt. God made some basic promises to the people during this time. And Haldeman lists six of them. He says, from Abraham would come a great nation that God would bless with natural and spiritual prosperity. God would make Abraham's name great. God would bless those that bless Abraham's descendant and curse those that curse them. In Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is to fulfill in Christ Jesus his work of salvation. The sign of the covenant is circumcision. This covenant, which was repeated to Isaac and Jacob, is confirmed to the Hebrew people and the 12 tribes of Israel. That was a dispensation of the promise. And then the fifth one, the law. We've been looking at that a lot lately too, the law that God gave. This time frame was from the Exodus to the death of Christ. About 1,500 years. During this time, God dealt specifically with the nation of Israel through the Mosaic Covenant. This included temple worship and the Levites as priests. The sixth one is a dispensation of grace, which, of course, is the current time. That's the dispensation we live in right now, is of grace. Some say that began Luke 22:20, which says, "And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" It's the new covenant. We can see God working through it. We can see how God has a plan, and he keeps building on that plan. So we are in the age of grace. Some call that the church age as well. And the church started at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. We are also, this is some really cool stuff, we're also in the 69th week in the book of Daniel. The 770s in the book of Daniel, we're in the 69th week of that. It's a church age, and they don't know how long it is, but that's what we're in. And we'll talk about the 70th week Sunday nights. See, I get to talk about what I'm going to talk about. It's awesome. I love how Scripture lines up and it makes sense. The church age is worldwide. It involves both the Jews and the Gentiles. And the really interesting thing about the church age is the way the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to those who have faith in Jesus Christ. He indwells the believers. In the Old Testament, he didn't work that loud. Somebody would be... The Holy Spirit would come upon them, and that would be God being bestowed upon that person, giving them what they need at that moment. And he came and went through certain people. Now the Holy Spirit seals us until God calls us. And the final dispensation is called the Millennial Kingdom, which is to come. Now, for those that don't know, this millennial means how many years? 1,000. Yes, 1,000 years. It's a literal 1,000 years. Some say we're living in the millennial right now. I say, no, we're not. Some say we're going through the tribulation. No, we're not. It's going to get a lot worse. That's to come yet. It's not here yet. See, this millennial kingdom will last 1,000 years. If it wasn't 1,000 years, the Bible would have told us. It's pretty clear on that. Following the millennial kingdom, the old world will be destroyed by fire, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. More to come Sunday nights. So all this unpacking that we did to understand history and how God works through us, works through his plan. So we can understand this passage. So before faith came, or can we say before Christianity came? Because were you Christians in the past? Before Christ? No. There was no church back then. There's a church now. It's a separate thing. They didn't have church back then. So before Christianity came, people were under that dispensation of the law. So as we see that, we can see what that looks like, with what he said now before faith came. So before Christ's death and resurrection, the people were under the law, held captive until the planned time God has sent his son to break them free from the law that was held over them. The people were waiting upon the promised Messiah so they could be free. So when Jesus came, paid for their sins, then God established a new covenant, which was known about. And now he is the guardian. He is over us. Christ is over us now. The world is now under Jesus, not the law. So we're going to look at that little word called guardian. That word guardian. Others, translations call this the tutor in verse, what verse am I in? I'm in verse 24. So then the law was our guardian. You're like, what does he mean, guardian? Well, in the Greek, it carries the idea of a teacher. It does not carry the idea of a teacher, as that tutor implies. But rather, it's more of a slave who is over the children of his master. See, what the slave would do is, it was a specific person for a specific job. What the slave would do is he would help these kids with their schooling. So he would take little Johnny or whatever name he was to school, make sure he went to school, make sure he did his studies, made sure he memorized what he needed to memorize, made sure he did his homework, make sure he studied, make sure Susie did her stuff, whatever. I don't know any good names that in Middle Eastern names, so I'm not going to use ours. That's what he would do. The slave would help train them up, make sure they were doing the work. And this slave actually had some power over these kids. The slave could actually discipline the kids. So if the kids weren't doing their schoolwork, the slave could say, "Hey, you go outside, cut your switch." He could do that. He could discipline if they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And does that position last forever? No, because there comes a point in time to when two people can't reproduce anymore, right? God kind of puts a stop on that after so many years. So this slave would be temporary. Now, if you have that much authority helping raise the kids, then you're going to kind of have some connections with the family. You're still going to be around. See, the children were underneath that supervision for a time. See, Paul was using phrases like that to explain his point. See, the law was temporary. Wait until Christ came. I look forward to my regular teacher coming back. See, the people were now under the guardianship of the law. And now that faith has come, they're under the guardianship of Christ. Now, this is awesome to think about how God works through those plans. Through history, we see him progressing, revealing himself more and more to the people, so we have a better understanding of who he is. See, God had a plan of salvation from the very beginning. God knows all. He's outside of time. Everything's already happened. And to totally understand that is beyond my mind's comprehension. I just take that by faith. See, before the death of Christ, one was under the guardian of the law. Even before we were Christians, we were under the law. For those that totally reject Jesus Christ are under the law. They are going to be judged by that law. And if you've broken one, how many have you broken? All of them. All of them. Keeping the second one on that list of laws that I have. Do not entertain the thoughts of other gods. How many of you broken that one? That's number two. That's what they will be judged by. See, Christ set us free from the law. He is our guardian. We are no longer under the guardian of the law. God has called us to witness for him so we can show others the truth of Jesus. Faith has come. Faith has come. We are under grace. Christ is our guardian. We are to live by faith because of Christ and His works. We are to live by it. Our trust is to be seen through our actions, through our words. I like this little statement that Hobbes writes. He says, "The three giant pillars of the Christian faith are Jesus' virgin birth, the atoning death, and the bodily resurrection. Take away any one of these, and the structure of the Christian faith falls. Taken out of context of all three, and any one of them is without meaning. Considered together, they comprise the greatest story ever told of our saving faith, His work, what He has done. It is faith in Christ. Can we see it? Can we touch it? He is our assured hope. There are many eyewitnesses to His work, to His resurrection, to His ascension. So much evidence out there that we can rely on. Not only that, but when you talk to a person who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and share their testimony, can they do that change on their own? Have you tried to change on your own without Christ? How hard is it? Can't be done. We need Jesus so we can grow in Him. We can't do it on our own. He set us free. He is the one that the Jews look forward to coming, and He has come. I've worked many jobs in my short life so far. I remember one that, I was probably there a little over a year. And I liked the guy I worked for. He's a really good guy. Problem is, I didn't like working for him. He was a completely different person when I was working for him. And we didn't always see eye to eye, so during that time that I worked for him, I had to bite my tongue and just say, "Yes, sir. No problem, it'll get done." And that was a growing point for me on how much I can handle, on the things I can do, the control I had. The really cool thing is God used that to set me up for something else. He keeps using those things He brings in. And I look forward to my next opportunity. So I was out from underneath Him and into something so much better. So much better. And it keeps getting better from there. Under grace, we take that for granted sometimes. We shouldn't. Something to think about. God has always had a plan from the beginning, and He stuck to that plan. He worked uniquely throughout history, so His entire plan would come about, and we could see it was Him that was doing the work, not us. He will continue to do the work, and His plan is not finished until He says so. We are in the age of grace, the church age. He gives us opportunities to do ministry and to reach the world for Him. Not for us, but for Him. Because why? Who's our guardian? Christ is our guardian. He's over us. He's given us freedom. He is the one who justifies. He is the one that makes us righteous. How are you going to serve Him while you are under His guardianship? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You and we just thank You so much for Your perfect plan, for You working through history, for You doing all the work, making the arrangements, sending Your Son Jesus Christ to die as a sacrifice for our place. He paid the price because we never could. Because of our sins. He was sinless, yet He was punished. We were against You, yet You call us. And Lord, we come before you today with a humble and thankful heart, saying thank you for your work, that we are no longer under the guardian of the law, but we are under you. You have given us freedom to proclaim your word, to be a representative of you. Lord, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds on the things that we can be sensitive to, on the people we can reach. We've got so much of an opportunity here in winter to reach the lost for you. Help us to see that. Help us not to just exist, but to be servants for you, to do your work, not our own. Open up our hearts to those around us. Lord, as the holidays are coming around, we've got so many opportunities to show people your love. Help us to do that. Help us not to get so focused on the busyness of seasons of holidays. Help us to focus on you. Help us to remember it was you who sent your son to this earth as an infant. As we look forward to that coming, to remember that. Help us to show others your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I leave you today with 1 Peter 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. You are dismissed.